You would take your Bibles, please, and open them to Luke chapter 22. Our text today is Luke 22 and verses 63 down through verse 71. Luke 22, 63 through 71. Hear now the word of the Lord. The men who were guarding Jesus began mocking and beating him. They blindfolded him and demanded, "Prophesy, who hit you?" And they said many other insulting things to him. At daybreak, the council of the elders of the people, both the chief priests and the teachers of the law, met together, and Jesus was led before them. "If you are the Christ," they said, "tell us." Jesus answered, If I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I ask you, you would not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God." They all ask, "Are you then the Son of God?" He replied, "You're right in saying I am." Then they said, "Why do we need any more testimony? We have heard it from his own lips." This is God's word. Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks for your word. Lord, what a great treasure it is to us. And Lord, we pray now that you would take this word, not through the art of the preacher, but through the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. Use it. Change hearts. Change lives. Lord, use it to convict, to encourage, to strengthen. Lord, all by your power and in your might. And Lord, we come with a prayer today that we would hear your voice and your voice only. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. The trial of Jesus has two parts. Now, I understand that there are at least four or five separate indictments and accusations and questionings and approaches to convict Jesus. I understand that this went on several times. When I say there are two parts, there's really the ecclesiastical or the religious trial and the civil trial. And what we want to deal with today in Luke's account is Luke's rendering of the religious trial that took place. And there's an overriding question, actually two questions here. The two questions that the religious leaders had to deal with, and two questions which everyone in this building, everyone who hears this, needs to answer. Who is Jesus, and why does it matter? Now, we saw last week that Jesus had been taken to the house of Caiaphas, the high priest. I should add at this point that Caiaphas is not the legitimate high priest. He bought that office with money, contrary to the word of God. And I find that somewhat interesting that this religious trial really centers around the legitimacy of Jesus Christ and his claims. But the people doing the examining hold their office by illegitimate means. The high priest was violently opposed to Jesus because he feared he would lose his position. And he had paid a lot of money to get that position. And the other members of the council, the Sanhedrin, the elders, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, they knew that Caiaphas was illegitimate, but they too ignored that because they too were profiting from the temple, from the money that came in to the temple. It was their cash cow, so to speak. So what we have here is a corrupt priesthood who is focused on their own little kingdom and preserving that kingdom. In fact, in an earlier meeting that John recorded in John 11:48, they had met discussing what to do with Jesus, and they said, if we let him go on like this, the Romans will come and take away our place and our nation. It seems that the ruling class in all ages, then and now, are concerned about their place and their prestige and their honor and their power and their money. But who of us is not concerned with our place? You know, this kind of corruption filters down and affects those who work for these kind of people. Soldiers, these guards, began mocking and beating and insulting Jesus. Now, I think we need to clear up some of the chronology here, because every one of the evangelists gives us a little different look at the trial of Jesus. And as we said earlier, talked about last week just briefly, Jesus was taken to the house of Caiaphas, the high priest. While Peter's out in the courtyard, Jesus over here on the porch being interrogated by these people. And they had asked him if he was the Christ. And he said yes. And they had already rendered a decision. Matthew 26:66. He is worthy of death. Because these guards would not be treating Jesus like this if it was not a foregone conclusion of his guilt and what was coming. So they begin, and this is where Luke picks up the story. Luke says, you know, the soldiers begin, and again, when I say soldiers, these were probably the temple guard, the ones guarding Jesus. They began mocking him and beating him and insulting him. Now, it's probably fair to say that they acted out of ignorance. They probably are not conversant with the issues, the claims, the evidence in this case. They're just reacting because, think about it, they have heard from the highest religious authority in the nation that Jesus is worthy of death. They're acting in good conscience, as far as they know. They're actually acting out of ignorance. And they begin to beat Jesus. They blindfold him and mock him. They do this in their ignorance. They do it as many people do, I think, today, because they're acting on some religious authority. There are people in our world today who mock Jesus, who insult him, beat him. And they're acting on some religious authority, the advice of some spiritual guide of some sort, or some politically correct moralist, and they think they are doing the right thing. They think that they're standing up for truth and religion and justice and all these things. I can't believe that these folks would treat Jesus this way if they hadn't already come to the conclusion that really he's no good, he really is worthy of death, and they're just helping to facilitate this process. And as I said, many people today do the same thing. And you may say, well, how is it that people today could mock and beat and insult Jesus? I don't know how that could possibly be. But if you just think about it for a minute, think about the world in which we live. The Lord Jesus is mocked routinely in comedy, in song, in art, in literature, in movies. And there's all too many people willing to join in. Willing to join in to the mockery. You say, okay, I get that part, preacher, but what about the beating? There's no way they can beat Jesus. And in our country, at least for now, that's probably true. But Christians are routinely beaten, tortured, and killed. Christ's body is beaten and tortured and killed. Do you remember what Jesus said to Saul, the Pharisee, when he appeared to him on the road to Damascus? You know, Saul was going around gathering up Christians, dragging them out of their homes, dragging some of them before the same council to be condemned, to be tortured and put in jail and killed. What did Jesus say? Saul, why are you persecuting me? What is done to Jesus' body? In Jesus' own words, what is done to the least of them is done to him. And the insults, like the mockery, just go on and on. Later, Paul would stand before this council, probably some of these same members present. And Paul is struck by one of the guards because of a perceived insult to the high priest. In our world, insults against the false prophet Muhammad are routinely met with murder and death. But people insult Jesus Christ all the time. They insult his deity, his rule, his authority, his power, and his word. And like the mockery, people just tend to pile on. They just jump in and participate. So Jesus Christ is still mocked, beaten, insulted. They have, many of them, I think, they have not even the slightest idea of what they're doing. They're doing to the Lord of glory. Now, the religious leaders, on the other hand, the ones interrogating Jesus, the ones who are leading Israel to destruction, they know exactly what the claims and the issues and the evidence are in this case. They ask Jesus, are you the Christ? That is, are you the long-promised Messiah of Israel? Now, they had asked that question before, during the night, during the illegal trial, because it was against their law to conduct such a trial at night. That's why Luke says here, at daybreak, the council. As soon as it was light, as soon as it was, quote, legal, they asked Jesus the same question. Now they had asked him during the night, and Jesus had answered, yes, it is as you say. That is, I am the Christ. I am the Messiah. And he gives them another little piece of information. In the future, you will see me sitting at the right hand of the mighty God and coming on the clouds of heaven. A direct messianic fulfillment of Daniel 7, which led them to declare him guilty of blasphemy. So, understanding that, you understand a little better Jesus' answer here when they ask him, are you the Christ? He says, well, if I tell you, you will not believe me. Second time around, we've already discussed this. I've already told you. He has laid out for them the truth. But what about these men who are questioning? Experts in the Old Testament. They know the Old Testament prophecies. They know, they have seen, and they have heard of Jesus' fulfillment of those prophecies. The lame walk, the blind see, the poor have the good news preached to them, the dead are raised, all things prophesied of the Messiah. They know these things have happened. So they know the answer to their question, but he just doesn't fit the way they thought the Messiah should be. They were looking for a glorious, conquering Messiah. They're not looking for the suffering servant of Isaiah 53, as we read earlier. That doesn't fit what they want. That's not the Jesus they're looking for. So many people today are looking for Jesus, but it's not the Jesus of Scripture. They have a conception of what Jesus should be and what he should do. And Jesus, I think, knowing their hearts, knowing their minds, he said, well, if it's glory you're looking for, verse 69, I tell you, from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God. There's the authority and glory that you seek. By the way, this is the last time Jesus uses that term, Son of Man, to describe himself. We're entering a new phase. We're entering a new place where Jesus Christ, even now, is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He rules. It's what they were looking for, but not the way they were looking. They refused to accept Jesus as he came because he didn't fit their preconceived ideas. He didn't fit what they wanted. He wasn't doing the things they wanted to do, to help them, to advance their position. But they understand exactly what he's saying. This shows you the insight that they have. They know. They know. They all ask, are you then the Son of God? They know exactly what Jesus has just said. So you are. You are the Son of God. Jesus said, you are right in saying I am. Now, I do not want to read something in the text that's not there, but that strikes me. It may not strike anyone else, but it strikes me. You're right in saying, I am. What did Moses ask God at the burning bush? Moses said, what if the Israelites ask me your name when I go to them? God said, I am who I am. Great name of God, Yahweh, Lord. And again, I don't know if that strikes anyone else, but it does me. But irrespective of that, he has answered their question. I am the Son of God. What do you do in that case? What do you do if you're those people? They've seen. They've heard. The crowds were universal. No one has ever talked like this. No one has ever said these kind of things. These miracles. You know, the blind man said, who can open the eyes of one born blind if God is not with him? They know. But their own hardness of heart, their own evil desires blind them to the truth. And Paul said, if that wasn't true, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. This is their terrible failing. And they're right about one thing. They've heard it from his own lips. Jesus has taken away all their excuses. They can't say they don't know. They can't say they never heard. They heard the truth. They heard it from Christ himself. As all of you have heard, because you've heard it from his word. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior of sinners. So the question remains. The two questions have to be answered. The question that you have to consider today is the same question that they were faced with. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Well, I tell you with the utmost certainty that Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus who stood here bloodied and beaten and abused and mocked before this council, that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. There were 300 prophecies fulfilled in the work of Jesus Christ. That Jesus, that's who this is. The Son of God, the Savior of sinners, the one who is seated even now at the right hand of God the Father, whoever lives to make intercession for his people, and who is coming again on the clouds of heaven in great glory and power. And every eye will see him, and every knee will bow before him. And all of his enemies, Caiaphas, the council, they will appear before his judgment seat. He will sit in judgment on those who have perpetrated such a miscarriage of justice here. The religious leaders, don't forget. These are the people that know. They know Jesus. They know the scriptures. And they know what they've seen and heard. And they will all have to stand before him and give an account to him, as you will have to do. You know, the thing that should strike you about this account, about this event, and I've tried to press that home, and perhaps I have, the thing that should strike you about this is that these people, this council, heard the truth. They knew the truth. It just didn't fit with their life ambitions. It just didn't fit in with what they wanted out of life. And they chose to reject it. John said in the prologue to his gospel that the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Men's hearts are dark. They reject the truth. It rolls off them like water off a duck. What should strike you about this is that although these people knew and heard, and yes, they heard it from his own lips, they did nothing about it. They refused to acknowledge Christ. They refused to believe that he was the Messiah. They refused to believe he was the Savior of the world. And that's the same thing that every person in this world has to address. I told you who Jesus was, and why that is important is this very reason. In him alone is salvation. In him alone is deliverance. In Him alone will you find that you can stand before the judgment seat and be declared righteous, clothed in His righteousness, not your own. That's why it matters. Because what you do about this will determine what you are in the life to come, eternally. Blessed or cursed. It has to do with these two things. Who is Jesus and why does it matter? And the Jesus you should believe in is the Jesus of Scripture. Exactly as I told you. And why it matters is because your eternal destiny is at stake. Now, for you Christians, let me say one other thing. We have a powerful example here from our Lord. In the most hostile of circumstances, with the deck stacked against Him, with a premeditated scheme designed to bring Him down, He boldly confessed the truth. As Paul would say later in 1 Timothy 6, He made the good confession. So there is no circumstance in which you should find yourself that you will not courageously stand and say the truth. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by Him. There is no other way. No, you're wrong. This is the way. He is the Christ. He is the Savior of sinners. He is the Son of God. Can you say that? Will you say that? We have an example right here. Our Lord Jesus did not, in circumstances that probably none of us will ever find ourselves in, He did not back down from the truth. We as His people should not back down from the truth. Because you remember what Jesus said, "Whoever acknowledges Me before men, I will also acknowledge before My Father in heaven." Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, He is truth incarnate. Lord, help us as Your people to speak that truth with a holy boldness. Lord, with love in our hearts, standing firm in the faith. Help us to be people of courage. Lord, help us, we pray. Help us to fight the good fight. Lord, all for Your glory, all for Your honor. And Lord, if there are any who hear who are not sure who Jesus is, what He did, why it matters, Lord, press these words into their heart. He is Your Son, Savior of sinners, and the Judge of all the earth. And He's coming again in glory, and all will appear before Him to give an account. Lord, touch their hearts, we pray, that they might understand, that they might believe and be saved. We ask these things in Christ's name, for His sake. Amen.